Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Good Friday evening will be taken from the Gospel of John. And I'm actually going to read two chapters. I don't intend to try to preach through them, but I want to read for you again the story. John chapter 18, reading down through chapter 19. Again, that's John chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. And we will read the account of Jesus' arrest, his trial, and his crucifixion. And we'll read this in the name of our Lord. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden, into which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell down to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which ye spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captains and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out the other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel, or the girl, the young maiden, that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. The servants and the officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered them, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring you against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. And they said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me, knowing thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou could have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam woven through the top, from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that you, that is you, might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was near at hand. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we're thankful tonight. We're thankful for your word, which brings the story of our salvation to us in such a clear manner, in such a clear way. And we pray, Father, again tonight that you would speak to us even more, that we would understand, Father, that this isn't just some historical act, but this, Father, is the story that we long to hear and long to know and long to believe each and every day of our lives. So, Father, sanctify us in the truth. For your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake we pray. Amen. The prophet Isaiah writes some very powerful words. Now, it's with great intent that I read this story for you. I actually don't plan on preaching from it at all. I'm going to turn to Isaiah tonight, and we're just going to examine a few verses. Isaiah chapter 53, I'm sure you figured that out already. And we're going to look at the first six verses for our text of meditation tonight. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid the iniquity of us all on him. You see, that's what you heard read for you tonight. I don't know that there's a whole lot more than I can add to that. What you heard read for you is what Isaiah prophesied of so long before the time of Christ. This man who entered into this judgment enters into this judgment for you and me. And we very often like to disconnect ourselves from this story and look at it like from an arm's length and examine it in that way. But it was for great intent that I said some of those words quite loudly, because I hoped that perhaps you would hear them. The voices of the people who screamed, "Crucify him, crucify him," and who were given the choice, "Would you want Jesus or Barabbas?" And they screamed out, "We'll take Barabbas, we'll take the robber, we'll take this insurrectionist who is a murderer and a zealot. That's who we want." Because that is always the issue with us as human beings. You see, this is why this whole story, this whole account took place, is because we, all the way back from the time of the Garden of Eden, from the time of the fall, deal with a rebellious and stony heart, which will always, in and of itself, because of its fleshly nature, scream for the zealot, scream for the insurrectionist, scream that this man who did nothing wrong at all, that he should be crucified. We can't disconnect ourselves from this story. We can't disconnect ourselves at all, because we were the ones. He dies there for your sin and for mine. And he does this because of his tremendous kindness and love. John, the apostle of love, records all of this for you so that when you hear it read or you read it yourself, this is what you would understand. Jesus enters into this for you. It's interesting to me when we get into the first part of that. I said I wasn't going to preach on it, but maybe I'll comment on a few verses. But you notice when they entered into the garden, did you notice that? They enter into the garden, they got this great group of soldiers. There's probably A cohort or a band, as it's referred to here, was probably around 600 men. And they had torches. They had all of the weapons that they could possibly get because they needed to go get this one man. So they took 600 Roman soldiers and they went after this one man. And when they got into the garden, Jesus steps out from behind a tree or out of the shadows, whatever it might be. And he says, "Well, who are you looking for?" And they say, "Well, Jesus, the Nazarene." And the words that are in the Greek there don't actually say, "I am he." They say, "I am." I am. And that's of great significance because all the way back in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, when the people confront Jesus and say, "Who do you think you are?" Because he talked about Abraham knowing his day, knowing who he was. He says, "You're not even 50 years old yet. How could you ever say that Abraham knows anything about you?" And he tells them, "Before Abraham was, I am." And they immediately recognize what he was saying. Because the only I am that there is God himself. The I am of the Old Testament is God the Father. It is God himself. This is how he confronted Moses from the burning bush, you remember perhaps. Jesus tells this group of soldiers, these mighty men of war, "I am." And what takes place? They all fall over backwards. He says, "I am," and immediately, every one of them is on the ground. Because what is demonstrated for you in that story or in that particular part of this account is that God himself was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses onto them. You see, this is the miracle of Good Friday. God confronts this group of soldiers, and when he says, "I am," it doesn't matter if they're Jewish or Roman or any other nationality at all. All of them are on the ground. Because no one can stand in the presence of God unless God allows it. John makes a great point in the gospel to say that Jesus, no one was going to take Jesus' life from him. In the 10th chapter of the same gospel, he says, "I lay my life down." So when he asked them again, "Who are you looking for?" "Well, Jesus of Nazareth, I am he." But this time, nobody falls down. This time, he hands himself over to them. Because this is the whole intent. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, this is what we are to understand. Now, I hope that the little ones in the audience tonight were listening to the story as well. That you would understand tonight, you who are younger, that this whole story that I read for you tonight of Jesus going through all that he did was for you. Because he has a tremendous love for children. Children are just the best. I remember when all of my little, when my children were small, I didn't want them to get big because, then they become teenagers and all of that. And that's fine and good. But little children, you just love them. And Jesus loved the little children. When the little children would come to him, the disciples would be like, "Well, get these little bread snappers out of here. Get these little pesky children out of here and say, no, 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 no. You bring those children to me. You bring them right here to me because I want to show you something. I want to demonstrate for you how the kingdom of God looks. And he took a small child in his arms and he held that small child and he said, here it is. You see, children, this story that I read for you tonight of Jesus, and for all of you, of course, but just to get down to their level, was for you. Because oftentimes, as you go through your little lives, you're not always obedient to mom and dad. You're not always doing the right things in your life. But you understand something very much, or I hope you do tonight, that this Jesus goes to the cross and dies on the center cross of Calvary for your sins as well. So that when you understand that, when you can read, a lot of you can read, but if you can't read tonight, when you can read this later on for yourself, you can understand that. John, when he gets all the way done recording all this for you, the guy who wrote the gospel, he writes this and says, I wrote this because this is true. I was there. I seen it happen. John says, I was right there by the cross. I seen Jesus there on the cross, and I seen him die. And he did all of this for you. John actually says, listen, little children and older ones as well, this is all recorded for you so that you would believe. That you tonight, who are gathered here on this Good Friday service, would actually hear about this Jesus going to the center cross of Calvary and dying there for you and doing it so that one day he can hang out with you forever. Now, isn't that cool? I think it's pretty cool. That we can actually be in heaven with our Lord and our Savior for all of eternity. Sometimes I miss my earthly dad. I was sitting here singing this song. I couldn't even sing it, Gethsemane. Because I remember him singing it. I remember being little like you, sitting in the pew of the church in Gowan Road, New Ipswich, New Hampshire, sitting with my parents and listening to my dad sing. My dad has a strong voice. He sings loud. And I missed him tonight. But this Savior, this Lord, who is my King and my Redeemer, demonstrates for me again tonight, and I hope for you as well, of his tremendous love for me. My dad loves me. I know he does. But you know, this man Jesus loves me much more. My God, my Savior, loved me so much that even though I am such a big sinner and do a lot of the wrong things, nevertheless, because of his love for me, went to the center cross of Calvary and there died so that I could be with him forever. And yeah, that's about it. That's really all there is. Jesus comes, he goes into this area, he's judged wrongly, he's nailed to the center cross of Calvary, and he gives up his life. He dies. Do you know why he dies? He dies so that you and I do not have to. We may die in this world, but our death in this world is just a passing from this world to the next one, to heaven itself. You see, what happened in this story tonight is the doorway to heaven was opened. And I know I'm making this fairly simple tonight, but I just felt it laid upon my heart as I listened to my brother pray. You know, the little children, there's lots of you in the audience. You need to understand what this story is all about. Jesus came here to open the doors of heaven, to swing them wide open, and now he says to come. Come and live with me forever. And he makes it possible by his own work. And so, you know what he does? He gives up his life. John told us in that account I read for you tonight that Jesus said, "It is finished." And then he simply died. And he died, but we know on Easter morning he's going to rise again. All because of what the scripture prophesied of so many years ago. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And listen to this. By his stripes we are healed. That means that all the blows, all of the beatings that he took, all of the punishment that he took so that you and I would be forgiven, so that you and I would be healed, that our sins would no longer be accounted against us. It's an amazing story. But this is how much God loves you. He loved you, and you older ones as well. You're included in this. Thank God we're included in this. Jesus loves the little children, but he also loves us who are a little bit older as well. And so therefore he came, and hear these words again. And I'll just close with this. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you again this evening for your word. Your word, Father, which is so powerful as we read and hear the message of the trial of the crucifixion of our Lord, as we see him there on the cross dying for our sins. Father, our heart leaps for joy because we know that he does this for us. And so, Father, we can only say thank you tonight. We can only say we praise you for your goodness, for your kindness, that in spite of us going our own way, trying our own paths, nevertheless, Father, you have shown us the right path. And so help us, Father, as we leave even from this place tonight, as we fellowship, as we join together there in the fellowship hall and talk about the normal things of life as we sometimes look at them. Help us, Father, to be ever mindful of what has been done for us on this night so many years ago. And we praise you, Father, we thank you that Jesus did not remain dead, but that he rose again victorious on Easter morn. And we look forward to that day this coming Sunday, where we can celebrate again his glorious resurrection. But tonight, Father, we remember his death and remember why he had to do this. He did it, Father, to purchase us. And so we thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.